Welcome to the City Gospel Movements podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm one of your hosts, Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Krista Sisterhood. Krista leads a city movement in Columbus, Ohio. Well, welcome to the City Gospel Movements podcast. I'm with Krista Sisterhen today with Pray for Columbus and Catalyst Columbus there in Ohio. Hi, Krista. How are you?
Hi, Daryl. Well, thank you.
I'm so glad you're with us today. It's exciting to hear about and see some of the things that God is doing in Columbus. So thanks for taking some time with us.
My joy.
Well, before talking about Pray for Columbus and before talking about Catalyst Columbus, which we will, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and kind of how you became involved in a citywide effort like this.
Thanks. Thanks for the question. Well, I am, I've been in Columbus for 20 years, and my husband and I raised two children here. They're grown, and one is married, living in South Carolina, and expecting our first grandchild in December, so thrilled about that.
I bet you are.
And our youngest is in Denver, Colorado. And so my husband and I are empty nesters and enjoying the season of life. It's been a really sweet season of life. Professionally, my background is as a clinical therapist, and I've done some work as an entrepreneur in that space. And I've also done quite a bit of public policy work in cities where, particularly elected officials, cities and states, where elected officials have been really concerned about the really stubborn social welfare challenges that we face in our neighborhoods. And so I've been a social policy advisor in that space for a bit of time as well.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, how did you come to be a part of a citywide effort like this? Pray for Columbus and Catalyst Columbus. Columbus is a big city, no doubt about that. Yeah. How did God lead you to this space?
Thank you. You know, the headwaters for my engagement really began in a conversation about biblical generosity with a group of friends who were really wanting to understand better how God asks us to use our time and our talent and our treasure. Really leaning into the question of why do we give and how we give. But we kept wanting to talk about where do we give. And our real interest has been in our city. And so my involvement in Catalyst and in Pray for Columbus really began out of a conversation about how do we use our time, talent, and treasure in a way to honor God in the place where He's put us to live and work and raise our families. So that's how I began.
Yeah. I don't know that I've heard that perspective before. Obviously, we've heard of biblical generosity and wanting to bless others, but for that to be the catalyst really for a city movement is really encouraging. What were some of the signposts along the way that kind of helped you take your next step, that kind of that opened up the opportunities and said, you know, this is really where I need to be investing my life?
Yeah, it's great. You know, God has been so generous in His favor. As we began praying about this, we've been praying specifically about how to engage and specifically what to do every Wednesday for the last 5.5 years, a group of us. And even actually before that, we prayed some, not as regularly, but just asking for His guidance. And so the way the signposts have shown up for us have been really around a spirit of agreement that's been obvious in places where we've gone. So we prayed together, and then we began seeking counsel from some of the city fathers here, some of the pastors who've been leading spiritually in our city for decades, from people in the marketplace who've made very quiet but very earnest and foundational investments in the city. From people who've just obviously been living their lives in a way that they would make a deposit in this city. So a perspective a bit broader than just my church congregation, though it includes that, or just my family or my neighborhood. But what does it mean to step back and take a look at this city where we live and kind of understand our calling and our placement here for the season that we're here? And as we began, most of my friends were in kind of the same season of life. And we're just thinking that, you know, we've lived a season in this place, and God's brought us to a place where he's given us a really great relational networks and some experiences that might allow us to lead and serve from a very quiet and humble posture.
That's so important. I appreciate you sharing the reality that out of prayer, we don't just learn to go do things. We learn to listen to people. And so it sounds like you listen to, we're able to listen to a lot of, as you said, city fathers and leaders, spiritual leaders and so on. What were some of the things that you were hearing from them? What were some of the things that were a burden to them or important to them that that maybe was influential for you?
Do you know, I think there were a number of things that were really informative. But I will say, this is a maybe a little bit longer answer to the question, but three of us actually met with a group of pastor leaders in our city early on and just said, you know, we have this burden to help kind of fortify the Church of Columbus, advance the gospel here. We don't want to do anything outside of your leadership or without your blessing. You know, what would be helpful to you? And we got to be a part of a conversation that was really incredible. One person said, you know, we've tried things like this before in our city.
Right. And, I've heard that. Yeah.
You know what? It didn't work out very well. And it's kind of heartbreaking. And so I'm not sure why would we do this again? Sort of asking the group, why would we do this again? And one person responded by saying, well, you know what? We've never actually done it this way before. We've never really ever started from this platform of unified city focused prayer. And another person said, you know, we've never really had a workable strategic plan either. And finally, and I guess this is the part that really settled into my heart, was one of them said, and because we have a deep and abiding affection for one another, you know, we can withstand disappointments. We've proven that. And would we try again? And I think the value of those relationships, and this is a group of people who've served together, you know, many have served together more than three decades.
Wow.
That's a powerful testimony across denomination line, across racial lines, from people who really do love and respect one another. But I would say the other thing we heard in tandem with that, everywhere that we spoke with people, was the importance of valuing things that came before and understanding a bit of our spiritual history and understanding that we're joining a song, we're not starting one, that God's been singing over our community for a long time through faithful people, and really kind of walking into the conversation with an air of discovery and also expectation to see his footprints and fingerprints, you know, all over the work that's gone on in our city. And I guess the other thing that we learned that was really important in the listening is how discouraged leaders can be. And this probably applies to all manner of work, but it particularly applies, at least in our context, to the importance and the high value we place on doing everything we do in a way that will really encourage pastor leaders in our city. Pastors were saying to us, you know, I feel like I go to a conference to learn something new and I just come back feeling like I'm not good enough somehow, or that I'm missing the mark, or, you know, it's all messages of discouragement, which, you know, we know the enemy sows those messages and intends for people, especially people who are leading church fellowships, I think, in pastoral positions. I mean, I think he comes after them hard. And so our interest has always been in every piece that we do to bathe it in prayers for encouragement, and let our words be life-giving, encouraging words, and to let our work be of a nature that continues to draw attention to God's goodness, his power, and his presence in this place for a long time. You know, even as we seek more, we're all in agreement, we want more of him here. And just not to look past the legacy that he's built and the people for whom, you know, they prayed us into existence. You know, we're we're standing on their shoulders. And so saying just the beauty of that history and legacy that we get to acknowledge with being really intentional about sowing into this next generation of leaders in a posture of that John 17 unity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the long answer. The context is very, very helpful. And that leaders, that city leaders, whether in whatever context, it seems important that our work is not simply transactional, that we're not simply asking and exchanging goods between one another, but that everything really does run on the rails of relationships and built deeply and rooted in the love that we share, the That's fellowship right. that we build. And that takes time, right?
It sure does.
It takes patience and time to build the trust and really the understanding as well. And what the landscape really does look like, and not just what we think it looks like.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the great influences for you? Mm-hmm. I know this work is relatively new for you. I mean, over the last few years, but mm-hmm. what were some of the greatest influences that encouraged you to step out, that equipped you for the work, that said, hey, you can do this?
Yeah, really, it's rooted back in the same thing we were just talking about, relationships. It was just God in his mercy and kindness, just providing friends in this place that had a real similar heart. And I guess I was just loving how wonderful it was that God was depositing the same kinds of ideas in people all over the place, and how much fun it was to start sharing some of the things that were on my heart and have people of different races and ages and denominations, you know, really young people and really much older people in a position to finish my sentence, right? So that's very encouraging, you know,
that's awesome.
When you discover that. And then also just in the course of doing our homework, you know, just asking questions about what else is happening, what's happened in cities. And that, you know, led us into a study of some history. Mm. And golly, is that exciting, you know, to see that, you know, this is the way God's been moving for a really long time, really across history and across the world. And so that's encouraging too, just putting together the word with, you know, our own prayer time, and then just the fellowship of other believers and, you know, getting to walk together with people who are really generous about sharing. Sometimes we call this the good gossip of what God's up to, right?
That's great. That's really fun. That's a great phrase. well, let's talk about Catalyst Columbus just for a moment. And, from your website at catalystcolumbus.com, it says we're a growing movement of friends loving Jesus and loving our city to life. Can you talk to us about that and just kind of tease that out for us?
Yeah, I think the joy has been God's put together some really interesting friends who come from different, really different places. What I'd love to say is, as he's brought us together, he continues to bring people of peace that have bridges into all these different spheres of influences, so that now, after 5 years, what really began as probably a circle of, you know, 8 to 12 different families with this interest, I think now if you go to some of the gatherings that we're a part of, you know, there's more than 100 people in the room. There are, you know, people from 6 or 7 dozen different church fellowships even that are speaking about this work from a position of real credibility and ownership, and ownership in a sense that, you know, they're part of it. There's nothing more exciting really to me than that. I was in a room one time recently when the speaker at the front of the room was sort of asking a question out loud about a participation number in something. And the speaker was looking at me to give the answer. But before I gave the answer, somebody else gave the answer.
Oh, how great.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, that was just the best. That was the best. And so when we say, you know, it's a growing circle of friends, it's been very intentional that we, you know, we've prayed, God, would you cause our paths to cross? Would you cause us to know, cause us to recall the people that you've placed in this city from this part of town or from this denomination or from this generation? Mm-hmm. Would you cause us to discover one another? And he's just been incredibly faithful to do that. And it's been really a delight. It's an adventure when we approach it that way. And it it's been delightful.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you've got three strategic priorities: to pray, fortify, and advance. Can you just tell our listeners kind of what that looks like in a practical way?
Yeah, so pray is really all of our efforts around Unified City Focused Prayer, and it involves everything from a daily prayer calendar where people can sign up to pray for the city each day. We send out a monthly prayer guide with themes, and that's all at our Pray for Columbus website. We also do a once a month morning praise and worship gathering. Anybody who wants to come can. And then each year we've been doing a couple of all city worship and prayer gatherings, one in the spring, one in the fall, that involve participants from just dozens of churches. Really now over 200 different churches have participated in that. And so those are just opportunities to all get together and pray and worship together. So that's the pray space. Fortify has really been focused on fortifying the Church of Columbus. And that looks like a lot of small meetings with some members on our team who are just encouraging pastors, gathering pastors, and helping introduce pastors one to the other. So just building community. So those are small gatherings. Sometimes it's just two-on-one. Sometimes it's, you know, smaller groups. And then once a quarter, we have a pastor's gathering where we bring everybody together for a really nice meal and just a time. It's a really light program. It's just heavy on friendship.
That's good.
We also have been paying attention to this whole area of faith and work integration because we believe that that's really important to advancing the gospel in our city. And so we've been working really closely with pastor and marketplace leaders in different church fellowships together as teams on ways to, you know, help members of their congregations be better equipped and more intentional about it, incorporating their faith and their work to influence culture and the peace and prosperity of the city. And then finally, with advance, this has really just been about advancing the gospel. And, you know, we're actually in a very unusual position right now. Columbus is growing really rapidly. And a seventh fastest growing city in the United States last year. We're adding, last year, 16,000 people in 1 year. And some of the projections have us growing as much as 1 million people in population over the next 20 years, which is just staggering. Right. It has huge implications for the church. You know, just as home builders and other infrastructure experts in Columbus are considering what does this mean for growth and how do they prepare for it, you know, we believe the church should be having those conversations as well. And so strategically in that advance category, we're really begin thinking about, you know, how do we help the Church of Columbus come together and be prepared for the growth that is underway and that's going to accelerate even in the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's so good. And I would encourage listeners to go to catalystcolumbus.com. It's a great resource and a great template and a great encouragement to help us think through maybe what God would do in our own city. So in that light, Krista, how would you encourage listeners who think God may be calling them to this kind of work? Yeah. What maybe the first and the second and the third step along the way, maybe?
You know, I can't overemphasize the importance of prayer and, you know, that time with the Lord to really hear from Him about that. He will make it clear, you know, how He wants you to step out in that work. And so I would say pray. And if you're not in a discipling relationship with a mature believer, I would say do that.
That's so good.
Because what we want, we really want to be grounded. We want to be grounded in the Word, and we want our own walk to be really authentic and fresh. And we want to be hearing from the Lord. So those would be important things. And then next, I just begin asking curious questions, you know, of people who've been involved in this space for a while, even in your city or in other cities, but just start asking people, you know, who's paying attention to these things. And, you know, what I'm finding is that people tend to be drawn to one thing or another. You know, some right. people are really animated in the area of service. Some are animated in the area of prayer. You know, there's all kinds of expressions of this, and there isn't a best way. You know, I think it's beautiful to start somewhere. And, But I I have begun and try to stay really disciplined. Our team really tries to stay disciplined to keep asking, who else, Lord, have you put here at this time that we can engage? And because, you know, the truth is he's been at work a long time in our city and through people that you wouldn't find on a web search or anything else. You know, just quietly out there doing this thing for him. And so it's beautiful to ask. And one of the things he's been encouraging us to do, and we've been working at it just really slowly, is just through this idea of what's your spiritual history? You know, what is the spiritual history of our city? It's just led to some of the most wonderful conversations. And we've been asking saints who are in their 80s and 90s, you know, questions yeah. about what's it been like to be a Christian in the city for so long? And particularly, what's your walk like? And I don't know. It's just, I guess the one thing that he's been showing me is that, you know, he is, after all, a sovereign, and he is in control of the time. And while I want to be quick to obey when he asks me to obey, there isn't an urgency on my part, you know, that there is a do the thing he's asking me to do and trust him, you know, to do the really big things, right? Because that's what he does. He does the really big things. And so it gives us some freedom, I think, to know that it's not really up to us. It's his. And that we will have a part to play, but it's why we want that to be joyful and life-giving. And at least for me, you know, the consistent theme that he brings me back to is the importance of being an encourager, you know, and seeing him at work in all these different places.
Right. Oh, I love that. We all need encouragement, and we all do a lot better when the joy of the Lord's our strength, and not trying to manufacture God's activity, and just maybe just joining him along the way.
That's right.
Well, as we finish our time, and we could do this for a long time, I so appreciate your work and how God's using you. How's God changed you personally during this process? It seems that God doesn't do a work through us that he doesn't first do in us. And how's that looked for you?
Yeah, it's the last thing I said informs it. It's he's really grown my perspective, my appreciation of the long view. And for me, he's grown my patience and my ability to really see him in even things that appear to be small, you know, how powerful those things are. I guess the biggest change has just been my ability to really trust him and engage in this walk with him at his pace. Yeah. And that pacing is, you know, it just requires staying in communication.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And knowing when it's time to sit and when it's time to stand and when it's time to walk. Right. And so that's been the biggest change. Growing patience.
Yeah, I love
and a joy in that. Yeah,
I appreciate your humility about that, and I think a lot of us can relate to the tendencies otherwise, and so learning to enjoy him and the fellowship with him, and that he really is enough, and again, we don't have to manufacture something or try to create something. I love what you said earlier about the, you know, we're not starting the song, we're just joining it already in progress. And so that's such a good reminder to all of us who think we might be the catalyst. We're not really the catalyst. The catalyst, and he's been at this for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Krista, for joining us. And for our listeners, again, you can go to catalystcolumbus.com and see what they're doing there in Columbus, or really what God's doing there in Columbus through really special people who love Jesus and want to be a part of his work. So, Krista, thank you for your faithfulness over time and then for joining us today.
My absolute joy. God bless you.
Well, thank you. What a great interview with Krista Sisterhin. If you want to know more about what God's doing there in Columbus, visit catalystcolumbus.com. And thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movements podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate city gospel work around the world. If you want to connect with us or make a few comments or even let us know what God is doing in your city, visit us at citygospelmovements.org.